Everybody, yesterday we started to talk a little bit about Hespedim and Shiva and Avelos, Yud Beis Chodesh and Shloshim, whether or not a person who passes away has the right to leave a tzava'a, that their children should not sit Shiva or should not give Hespedim or should not observe the Yud Beis Chodesh. That is a very important question that we mentioned yesterday, and now we're going to continue. What happens when we're dealing with a Talmud Chacham who passes away? Are the rules the same, or perhaps would it be a little bit different? So the first issue that you have to be aware of is the fact that the Gemara gives us some very harsh criticism for those who are not careful about attending or giving a proper hesped for a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, Kol Amorei Demoas Al Adam Kasher, anyone who takes the loss of a Adam Kasher, of a Talmud Chacham, or a great person, a tzaddik or a tzaddikes, and cries about it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sofran Umanichan Bebeis Genazav, the Ribono Shel Olam will take those tears and put them in the storage house. What happens to those tears? I don't know. When does the storage house get used up? I don't know exactly, but the Gemara says that those tears are saved. And in fact, the Gemara goes further and says, Kala Mis'atzel Behespedu Shel Chacham. Person who's lazy and says, I'm not interested in going to Levaya. It's boiling hot outside. It's an inconvenience for me. I'm not interested in attending. Roy Lekavra B'chayev, says the Gemara, you don't have the respect that the person deserves. You don't think it's important to go a little bit out of your way to make sure that you show the kavod that this person is really deserving of. And in fact, the Gemara says, Kala Mis'atzel Behespedu Shel Chacham Eino Ma'arech Yamim. A person, unfortunately, will be taken away from that great gift of having Arichas Yamim. So the Gemara seems to say that it's extremely significant. Although we assume that Kavod Ames is always something that is important, when it comes to a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, or a Tzaddikes, we assume that it's considered to be even more critical, even more significant. So there's a very famous question that's asked. I have a Chumash at home called the Chumash HaChida, where somebody collected, a great Talmud Chacham, collected all the different places where the Chida in his many, many Svarim has something that is relevant to the Parsha. It's not always so relevant, but they figure out how to make it relevant to this week's Parsha. So I saw in that Chumash Achidah in this week's Parsha, he quotes from the Tshuvas Chaim Sheol. I don't even have that at home, and I probably have never even looked at it inside, but he quotes verbatim from the Chidah's Tshuva, where he discusses the following issue. He says there was a community that had a Chacham V'chassid V'rav B'makam. They had an individual who was considered to be an outstanding Talmud Chacham, who was the leader of the community, and Siva Shelo Yaspidu Kiminokayir. He said in his Tzava, in his will, he left instructions that he did not want to have any hespedim said over at his levaya. He did not want anyone to talk about him. He wanted to be buried right away. And he was doing that out of his own humility. So they sent a question to the Chida and they asked him, we were planning, look, he was sick for the last few months, and we were planning that once he passes away, we're going to invite very famous maspidim, very famous people to come and give a eulogy on him. And there was going to be a very big communal gathering in his honor. And now we feel that it's inappropriate that he left instructions that he doesn't want any hespedim. This was a moment for our community to shine, so to speak. They were almost taking advantage of the fact that the rabbi was a very well-known person. And the question was, should we listen to the rabbi or not? And they added to the question that if we don't have hespedim for him, it will be a chilul Hashem be'enei ha'amim. He says, everybody else was aware that we had such a great leader. Now we're just going to have a 3-minute levaya. We're just going to bring the Aaron to the shul and then walk out and bury him immediately with nothing to commemorate his memory. And they felt that was something that was highly inappropriate. So this was the question that was sent to the Chida, and in fact, this was a question really that came along before the Chida. In the 1800s, Rav Shlomo Eger, the son of Rabbi Kiva Eger, writes that he had the same issue. His father left over in the Tzava that he did not want to have any Hespedim said about him. He was the great leader, Rabban Shel Kol B'nei Agola. Everyone agreed that Rabbi Kiva Eger was the great Talmud Chacham, the great tzaddik of the generation, and in his humility, he said he didn't want anyone to talk about him after he passes away. And the children were faced with the same dilemma in the 1800s. So Rav Shlomo Eger tries to dissect the issue and he breaks it down as follows. He says, look, the halacha is, the Gemara tells us, melech shemachal al kevodo in kevodo machal. When you have a king who represents the entire Jewish people, even if he gets into a situation and somebody is giving him great honor, and the king says, look, I'm uncomfortable, I don't want all the honor, you don't have the right to turn down that honor, because the reason we're giving you respect and dignity is not because of who you are, it's because of who you represent. And because you represent something so much larger than yourself, you don't have a right to tell people, oh, I don't deserve the kavod. You do deserve the kavod because you represent something much greater than yourself. However, the Gemara says, Talmud Chacham Shemachal Al Kavodo, if you have a Talmud Chacham who says, I don't want all the respect that people are bringing to me, Kivod HaMachal, he has a right to say, I don't need the dignity, I don't need the honor, because after all the Gemara says, after he mastered all the words of Torah, after all the Torah that's in his head, it becomes Torah Sodilei. It becomes his Torah. He made a kinyan on it. Now it belongs to him. Now it's his enterprise. It's like his intellectual property. And because of that, we assume he has a right to say, Kivod HaMachal, if he says he doesn't want people showing him respect, he has every right to say that. So on the one hand, writes of Shlomo Eger, we have a right to say that a Talmud Chacham who says he doesn't want to be eulogized has that right to make such a decision, and we should really honor that. However, he writes, a Talmud Chacham doesn't have a right to be mevazeh himself. As much as a Talmud Chacham can say, I don't want people to give me extra honor, he doesn't have a right to walk in the street and be mevazeh himself. In fact, he brings a proof text from the Gemara, which talks about a Talmud Chacham who finds an Aveda. And it's a Aveda that would humiliate him. So he finds a lost object in the middle of the street. He has the same mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda as everybody else does. He finds somebody's wallet, he has to go and return it. What if he finds, the example my father always likes to give, if he finds a woman's bathing suit right in the middle of the street. So now you have the great Gadol HaDor, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, is walking down the street with the woman's bathing suit, has to knock on every door and ask, does this belong to you? Did you lose this? Does it belong to you? It's embarrassing, it's humiliating. It's not just that he's not being makbid on his covet, he's being mevaza himself, it's beneath himself. It's something he would never walk around with if it belonged to someone in his own family. So therefore, we assume a Talmud Chacham does not have a right to be mevaza himself and writes of Shlomo Eger. In a case like this, where everybody knew Rabbi Akiva Eger, if we're not going to have Espedim, it's not just that it's disrespectful to him, it's that it's actually mevaza him as well. It's actively humiliating him. It's disrespecting him. It's showing him a disgrace. And therefore, he writes, we don't have a right to listen to him. We should do even against his wishes, and we're going to have Espedim. He was not the only one that had such an idea. Rabbi Elazar Fleklish, who was the author of the Tshuva Me'ava, the preeminent student of the Noda Yehuda, writes in his Tshuvas that he remembered when his Rebbe, the Noda Yehuda, found out that the Pnei Yeshua passed away in the middle of the 1700s. Pnei Yeshua died in 1750 or something. So he writes that the Noda Yehuda, even though the Pnei Yeshua had left very strict instructions that no one should be maspidim, that no one should eulogize him, the Noda Yehuda said it's inappropriate because after all, you are the great Pnei Yeshua. You are the leader of the generation, and it would be such a lack of respect to the point that it would almost be a bizayon if we wouldn't give a hesped, and therefore they did not honor his wishes. And this is what is told about so many great Rabbanim from so many previous generations that had this issue, that had this dilemma. Somebody left over at Tzava that they didn't want to be eulogized, and the other Rabbanim felt that it was inappropriate to leave such a instruction. And they went against the wishes of the great Talmud Chacham and they gave the Hesped anyway. What becomes an interesting extension of this issue is the following. I know when Rav Soloveitchik passed away, the family told all the Talmidim, they let out a public disclaimer that nobody has a right to publish anything from our father without our consent. And the question is that really something that is justified? Does a person have a right to say, I was a public teacher of Torah for the last who knows how many years, and nobody has a right to publish anything from my Divrei Torah because it all belongs to me. Is that really true? Is that really the case? Does everybody have to honor those requests of the person who passed away? Or perhaps, once you've taught the Torah in public and once it's available, now we should assume everyone has the right to publish it on their own, even without your own consent, not just without your family's consent, but without your own consent. So this is a very interesting question. The Chasam Sofer writes, in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, they have this issue where the Chasam Sofer writes a letter to his friend and he says, he says, as far as I'm concerned, I never wanted to publish anything. I was never planning on publishing. Can you imagine if we wouldn't have the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer? Imagine how different the world would look if we didn't have that incredible contribution. He says, if it was up to me, I never wanted to publish anything. Ach, he says, Eza Shanim Yatsu Eza Kuntresim Tshuvas V'chidushai. He says, I'm going to the Svarim store, and the last couple of years, I'm seeing people are publishing Svarim, and they have in there things that I wrote. And they're writing, this is a tshuva from the Chasam Sofer, and here's a chiddush from the Chasam Sofer, and they're putting all kinds of things that I never authorized them to print. And he says, I couldn't believe it. And he writes that he actually names them by name. He says, this person, Mordechai Schlank, I don't know who he is, printed a sefer with the chidushim of the Ramban, and in the back of the sefer, he added in some of my things. And then he writes somebody else, also from Brud, also decided to do the same thing. He printed Kisveyad of the Rishonim, and he added in, he thought it would sell better if he wrote on the cover that it has chidushim from the Chasam Sofer. He forgot to ask the Chasam Sofer. He didn't discuss it with him before publishing it. And he writes, Umitchila, in the beginning when I saw this, Haya api va'al chamasi, I was furious. What right do you have to take my chidushim Torah that I wrote and publish it without asking my permission? And then he says, after a while, my children told me that I shouldn't be makbid, I should just let it go. And he says, once that happened already and my chidushim were being published by others, I figured I may as well print it on my own. Why should everybody else have the right to publish my things? I may as well have a look at it on my own and know what's being published. So that's what the Chassam Sofer writes. The Noda Behuda has a comment where he says that although after a person passes away, they no longer have the opportunity to perform a mitzvah, they no longer have the opportunity to be engaged in mitzvah experiences at all. As the Gemara says, Hayom la'asosam, the only opportunity that we have to do mitzvahs is here in this world, but l'machar l'kabuscharim, once a person's in the Olam Ha'emes, then that's when you get the schar. You cannot perform mitzvahs any longer. However, writes the Noda Behuda, the only way that you can still perform a mitzvah afterward is if you have the opportunity. Im zacha me'es Hashem lechaber eze chibur, if you have the opportunity and the blessing to write something, to publish something that someone in the future is going to read as well. Then, writes the Noda Behuda, you have set up a system in which you will continue to have schusim being accrued, because somebody will continue to read your chidushim, people will continue to be inspired by it. If all you did in your life is just things that are here and tangible, but you have nothing that's left after you're gone, writes the Noda Behuda, you've lost that opportunity. So this is obviously something that would be a tremendous chus to publish Divrei Torah from somebody who is no longer in this world, because after all, the Noda Behuda writes, you're giving them the opportunity to continue to have schusim by the people who are going to read and learn from their Divrei Torah. So the Avnei Nezer has the same kind of issue as the Chassam Sofer had. He writes, somebody sent him a sefer, an acquaintance of his sent him a sefer, and the Avnei Nezer, he has this in a tshuva as well. He says, somebody sent me the sefer and they wanted me to write comments on the sefer, and he says, I'm looking through it and I see in the middle of the sefer he has a letter from the Avnei Nezer. And then he printed a response that he wrote back to the Avnei Nezer. And then he writes the response that I wrote back to him, and he says, I never dreamed in a million years that you were going to publish this letter. You wrote me a private letter. I wrote you a private letter back. What right did you have to print it without asking me in advance? And the Avnei Nezer is very upset about it. So what happens when somebody passes away? When somebody passes away, the Nitziv has a tshuva in the Meshev Dover, which is quoted in the Stichemed. What is the story when somebody passes away and leaves instructions? I don't want anything printed from my own chidushim in my life. Should we honor that request, or should we say, you don't have a right to make such a request? Well, on the one hand, writes the Nitziv, maybe we should say, Torah so delay. On the one hand, the Gemara tells us, once you have mastered a great body of Torah, we should assume it becomes yours. It's like your intellectual property. No one else has a right to steal it from you. So therefore, if you leave instructions that nobody else should publish from you, maybe you have a right to say such a thing. But on the other hand, he says, is it that simple? Is that all it's dependent on? So he says, let's try to figure out this issue. Writes the Nitziv, somebody sent him a shaila that the father had left over at Saba, that he didn't want his tshuvas to be published, number one, because the only reason why he wrote these tshuvas was, it wasn't derech limudo, it wasn't while he was learning the sugya, it was when somebody came to him with a shaila, he responded with an answer. So he says, I don't know if it's 100% down the omeka inyan. How can I trust that this can be published if, after all, I just responded like that? My father once told me that Rav Moshe Feinstein told him that his great contribution to the world, he felt, was not the Igros Moshe. He told my father, the Igros Moshe I wrote, imitim in chamar. If people came in, they asked me a shayla, so I wrote an answer. He's like, that wasn't the big deal. My big contribution to the world was the Dibros Moshe. Now, who learns the Dibros Moshe? I'm sorry to say, almost no one. Who learns the Igros Moshe? Everyone has to learn the Igros Moshe. So it's interesting. Sometimes you think you're giving a contribution to the world, and it's very different. It plays out very differently. So my father, when he got married, Rav Moshe Feinstein was their shadchan. So Rav Moshe Feinstein gave my parents a wedding gift, and he gave them whatever was published of his farm at the time. He gave them a few volumes of the Dibros Moshe and one or two volumes of the Igros Moshe. I don't know how many, I don't remember. But the one that's inscribed to my father is the Dibros Moshe. And he said the reason why he inscribed specifically the Dibros is because I came onto this world to print the Dibros Moshe, not the Igros Moshe. So it's interesting. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, this is what he wrote in between Mincha Maariv. Meanwhile, even though he wrote it in between Mincha Maariv, this is what everybody's been living off of the last 50 years in America. So it's very important to understand when one writes a tshuva, is it meant to be halacha lemaisa that it should be forever and ever? Or do you assume it was only written because it was giving an answer to a question that came up on the spur of the moment? So the Nitziv writes, absolutely incorrect. He says, when somebody comes and asks a shaila, and a Rav is tasked with giving the answer, he says, we assume based on the Gemara that you're given a very special siyata d'shmaya. And he said, because you're given a siyata d'shmaya, you have the right to believe that what you said is correct. Rabbi Elimelech Bluth, who was a very close Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein, he's still alive, he lives in Brooklyn, he told me over the summer that Rav Moshe Feinstein never changed anything that he wrote in the Igros Moshe. The way it's printed is the way he wrote it the first time over, which is so unusual. It's amazing. If you've ever watched anyone try to publish a sefer, the amount of times that they go through revisions and they change things and everything's different from the way it was originally written, he said he knows that when Rav Moshe wrote the Igros Moshe, he sent people letters and it was published the way he originally wrote it. He didn't have to change anything. That was the Siyata D'Shmaya. That was the gift that Rav Moshe got. And here writes the Netziv, how could a person say, I don't want you to publish my tshuvas because I'm not sure if I got it all right. After all, it was just answers that I gave on the spur of the moment. It wasn't that I worked through all the sugyas once again so carefully. He says, what do you mean? You're given a great siyata d'shmaya at the time, and that's enough to rely on the fact that what you wrote is probably correct. The answer that you gave is probably the right one. And he says, therefore, as far as that time is concerned, there's nothing to talk about. There's no reason to assume that they shouldn't be printed. However, writes the Netziv, maybe you should argue from the second perspective, and that is, just like if a person leaves over in the tzava, let's say I have a backyard, and I decide I want to burn down my backyard. I have every right to do that. It's no one else's business. I can do what I want. I have a house, and I decide I want to destroy the kitchen. I want to rip out everything, all the appliances. I don't want it anymore. Even if someone's standing outside of my house screaming and yelling, I can do what I want. It belongs to me. Writes in the Netziv, shouldn't it be the same? If I have the Torah, and the Gemara says, Torah sedilei, the Torah becomes mine, shouldn't I have a right to say, I want it to be destroyed? I don't want it to be published. Don't I have the right to say such a thing? Can I not leave such an instruction, writes the Netziv? No. The same way, let's say by Truma, he says, a person grows crops, and now they have an obligation to give over some of it to the Kohanim. So you're given what we call the Tova Sana. You're allowed to choose which Kohen you want to give it to. But you can't say, I don't want to give it to anybody, and I want to just burn it, I want to destroy it. You don't have a right to. So you're right, it belongs to you, but it doesn't belong to you fully. It belongs to you just with respect to the fact that you can decide who's going to get it. Writes in the Tziv, the same works over here. Although the Gemara says it becomes Torah Sedilei, once you study and master the Torah, it becomes your intellectual property, but we assume it's only yours with respect to the fact that you can decide who's going to have the ownership of it, who you want to give it over to. But if you decide that you want to destroy it, that you want it to go into the oblivion, you don't want anyone to have any hana from it, you don't want anyone to ever use it or learn from it, he says that's not the permission that you were ever given when you mastered the Torah. God gave you the Torah and he said, as long as you master it, it's yours, but up to a point. If you leave instructions and you say, I don't want anyone to ever study my Torah, I don't want anyone to ever read from my Torah, I don't want it to be published, he says that is not a right that a human being has, because the Torah was given to all of us, lilmod, but also lalamed. And writes the Netziv, if somebody would leave over such an instruction that they don't want their Torah to be shared with others, that is something that you absolutely do not have a right to do. Like Rav Soloveitchik once commented, it's like kovish nevuaso, the same way a Navi has a prohibition, he's not allowed to withhold a nevuah that he was given. His instruction is that he must give it over to the public. So to hear, if the Ribbono Shel Olam blesses you with the gift of teaching Torah, you have an obligation to give it over. Otherwise, said Rav Soloveitchik, you would be considered perhaps in some way a kovish nevuaso. The only reason it was given to you is because he wants you to share it with other people. If you're not going to share it, you really didn't have a right to have it in the first place.